Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hi to everyone. I am your host, Richard Weissman, and this is In Our Craft or Sullen Art, and we are the largest show, the largest group on late night, on all poetry. We're called Late Night Poets, and I've got my co-host, Neutron, is back. I don't know what happened to the audios, but we're doing all right. We're going to bring on Neutron. Here's Neutron. How you doing, Neutron?
Hey. Don't you love it when a show comes together so seamlessly?
Yeah, you know, I there was one called Intro, and I think that was a song about New Orleans. So I tried that one, let it go around 45 seconds and nothing was happening. So I switched gears and there was one called African Voodoo Drums. And I tried that one and that one didn't work either. So at that point, I just decided to bring you on and talk poetry. I also see that Pam is in the room. Let me bring her on the air. Hi, Pam.
Those
voodoo
drums.
Yeah.
Is that it? 5 minutes too late.
So should I hit it? Should I try it one more time?
Go for
Let's
it.
Try it.
Yes. Go for it.
Well, that wasn't a whole heck of a lot, but it was something.
Yep, I did hear something. So we're going to say that that was voodoo drums, and we will keep this ball rolling. So, Pam, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I am doing great. You know, life is calm and smooth, and looking forward to hanging out with you, too. Maybe some other cool poetries. Poetry diving into the, you know, spooky. I love that this is not only about dark and spooky poetry, but it's about the history of a place. I'm a big history buff. I love learning about history. So, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to this show.
Me too. So, yeah, I actually studied history once upon a time when I was young. You know, it wasn't place per se, but it included lots of places, and one of the places that I studied, the era that I studied, was 1914 to 1945. That was kind of like the era that I specialized in, and at that time, New Orleans was kind of famous because of Huey Long, the Kingfish, and he pretty much had a dictatorship going on down in Louisiana, and it was all headquartered in New Orleans. So both the most loved and hated man in the Great Depression, and he did it all in New Orleans. And and we're going to look at lots of history of that place and haunted locations in that area. And it is a really special place. You've got so much of different cultures. You've got that French influence. Obviously, African slaves were brought over during slavery days, and they brought their own culture, and that became what they call in the United States voodoo, or even in the backwoods of the bayous, they call it hoodoo. But it is actually an African religion. And because the French were, you know, Catholic, generally speaking, you've got that whole mixing of the Roman Catholic saints being superimposed onto these voodoo gods and goddesses. So it is quite a mesh, and it brought some interesting characters to the forefront of New Orleans history, including Marie Laveau, who I love. So we're going to be looking at a lot of that type of stuff. So it should be a lot of fun. And yeah, and before we move on, I have to ask Neutron, how are you doing? Because you're back. You've been gone for a few shows.
Yeah, look, I'm feeling much better, and let's hope it's a good stint this time. Back from outer space, as I said on the board, so I'm ready and raring to go.
Good. Yeah, well, you know, life is very humbling, and all of us just have this one day, and we're fortunate enough to share it with each other and to celebrate our early celebration of Halloween. And I like that we're doing this because last year we did Southern Gothic. So this is kind of similar, but kind of different. So it'll be fun. And always fun to spend it with you ladies.
It sure is. That's a great show.
Absolutely. So with that, I am turning the board over to you, Neutron.
Okay, so I have got Mark Lupi up first, and I'll give this one a read, actually. It's called A Date with Marie. Okay, so, oh, how I do love you. Cats wander near the moon. The tourists all gone home. The world is in a swoon. The real dance soon begins among the old hotels, red windows of bordellos, ramshackle gambling hells. Marie, I'll wander with you. We'll drink green absinthe first in that crummy lowdown dive. We'll build a poison thirst. Marie, you know I love you. Marie, Marie Laveau, wherever you want to take me, there I'll gladly go. Past that Turkish party where mamelukes lie drunk, above a padlocked basement with dead children in a trunk, past the city gallows where the dead men hung, you kissed them and consoled them while Christian hymns were sung. We'll wander past that midnight house, its basement a red hole, while that couple, man and wife, torture a weak soul. Oh, Marie, I love you. I think also you need me for ancient rituals of pain. Your bruja pinch will bleed me. Marie, the world is filled with pain. I no longer can ignore. It's okay if you kill me. Let's not be here anymore. Pull me down into your grave to make love amongst the dead. Me in my tuxedo, you crinoline of red. End poem.
Nicely done there, Neutron. So good to have your back and have you back and have your voice back. So yeah, this hit all the notes. You know, you can see the various influences that make New Orleans such a haunted place. And I keep fumbling with it because, you know, in that locale, they tend to call it Nolens, but, you know, being a Northerner, every once in a while I say New Orleans. And I felt he hit all the notes that make New Orleans what it is and make it such a haunted place, bringing in one of its main characters, Marie Laveau, and bring that whole mix of voodoo, Christian hymns. It really was a wonderful start to our evening. I thought it was great rhyming verse in honor of the voodoo queen. I thought the dark ending was especially appropriate for our Halloween celebration. Marie, the world is filled with pain. I no longer can ignore. It's okay if you kill me. Let's not be here anymore. Pull me down into your grave. We'll make love among the dead. Me in my tuxedo, you in crinoline of red. Just really nice way to open our haunted New Orleans evening. And Neutron, your thoughts on the poem?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was a fun read, and Mark actually gave quite an interesting author note, which if you get a chance to have a read of it, he's really done some research for this write and incorporated a few prompts as well. I was drawn to this section here, past the city gallows where the dead men hung. You kissed them and consoled them while Christian hymns were sung. And after your introduction, it actually makes even more sense where you said the melding of cultures and religions was a huge thing in New Orleans. And I think Mark engaged me as a reader throughout and captured that special lady, Marie Laveau, and captured her spirit in particular in the rite. Amazing.
Great comment there. And with that, let's move on to our next piece.
Okay, so there is a SoundCloud, I believe, for the next poem. Let's hope it works.
Hmm. Okay, yeah.
I think.
So, you know, we'll give it a shot, and if not, we'll read them. But let's certainly try. Okay, so this is got it. So this is Arcania Amor Voodoo Hoodoo. And I am going to, fingers crossed, pull the SoundCloud.
Taï, il a mis là. Les mots d'affaires, je vous dis, j'ai là. J'ai eu un homme.
Papa Legba smiles down with a nod of approval, granting communication with the spirit world, balancing the scales of life and death. His ember-red eyes stare from a grey-white face, painted as a skull beneath long black dreadlocks. The gatekeeper unlocks doors to other domains, preparing the ceremony with somber blessing. The path of survival and destiny must be walked, paying tribute to deities they seek to speak. The hoodoo gather obediently to their calling. Hypnotic rhythms writhe in fervid tempest, inviting trance-induced storms of frantic frenzy. An irresistible mantra of melodious rhapsody that swallows the mind in manipulative magic, drowned in the throb of beating drums. Papa Dambala entwines his serpent's caress, called forth from the depths of deepest seas, invoking those spirits who protect the gates. Possessed of Loire, the mesmerized dance wildly, to attain the blessing of a sweetened path. The mambo chants to the rhythm of life, in mesmerized minds of involuntary sway. Those who serve the spirits shall not fall, as the pulse echoes the realm of the dead. Baron Samedi watches on from the shadows. A ritualistic tempo incites wanton abandon, conjuring with cadence the pantheon of the Loire. As the snake constricts around the rainbow, eyes glaze in unconscious derelict desertion, shaking and trembling to the beat of the boa.
Wow, what an audio. What I love about this audio is not only do we have the poetry, but I felt like he gave us that feel of the African / American New Orleans voodoo culture, because the dance is such a huge part of it. The music is such a huge part of it. So I really felt like it came through in that piece. And I'll circle around to give some comments about the poem itself, but first I want to turn it to Pam for comments. Your thoughts on this poem?
Yes. Well, I've been very fortunate actually to get to hear this poem on two shows, because last night on Jeremy's show, Arcana was one of our headline poets, and this was one of the poems that he put on his list to represent himself and his work. And so, you know, when we got to discuss this last night, and for me, one of the things that really impressed me about this, besides the performance, I loved that he had the voodoo drums with, you know, behind the reading. They were balanced out perfectly with his voice, was the fact that, and I told him on Jeremy's show that I thought he did an amazing job of speaking and paying tribute to the spirituality within the voodoo religion culture, and I really liked how he did that, because, you know, to me, there's a lot of Hollywood movies, maybe not a lot, but there are Hollywood movies and books and, you know, stuff that make it seem almost corny. Like, there's these cliches that you see representing the voodoo and the hoodoo culture. And I felt like those cliches were not put into this one, which made it quite a strong write. I loved how he had the imagery. I loved how he had the sense of movement that comes with the dance and the drums, especially hypnotic rhythms, writhe and fever tempest, inviting trance-induced storms of frantic frenzy. Just an amazing write and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment there, Pam. And nice to have some more color and backstory as well. And your thoughts, Neutron?
Yeah, look, just I think building on the comments of other people, that SoundCloud was probably one of the better ones we've had submitted to our show in recent times. And I think I was drawn to this section here. Hypnotic rhythms writhe in fervid tempest, inviting trance-induced storms of frantic frenzy, an irresistible mantra of melodious rhapsody that swallows the mind in manipulative magic drowned in the throb of beating drums. It really builds this stanza quite eloquently and with feeling. And Arcana has crafted an interesting narrative from the picture prompt, creating a much sinister vibe throughout. But as Pam mentioned, it was devoid of those cliches, and it is all the stronger for it. So I can understand why he put this forward as one of his poems to showcase his talents. Very well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, I too really love this. And, you know, so I wasn't sure if everyone was aware of Papa Legba, so I put a note into the group chat, and he is kind of like a gatekeeper in Haitian and Louisiana voodoo cultures. So the gatekeeper is basically someone who determines whether the practitioner, the voodoo practitioner, is worthy of speaking, communicating with the spirits, and asking them for, you know, for favors or for blessings. So, so that's the role in that culture, and the dance, the drums, all are intended as part of the invocation and to open those doors, which would otherwise be closed. So we open the doors by dancing. We open the doors by drum. And drum actually represents the human heartbeat. So we're attuning ourselves with these spirits. So it's actually very sacred. I know that Hollywood has kind of turned it into this weird, scary thing, blah, blah, blah. But it's actually a really sacred spiritual thing. So, you know, I thought he did a wonderful job bringing that in. And in my notes, I said that I thought it was a fantastic invocation of voodoo culture, complete with rhythmic beat, dance, as well as archetypal voodoo symbols of the serpent and the rainbow, which is basically, you know, that the magic that brings our world into being according to the culture. It's not the serpent and it's not the rainbow. It's the interplay between the serpent and the rainbow that gives everything life and creates life in this universe. So very sacred stuff and very well done. And with that, I am turning it back to you, Neutron, for our next piece.
Okay, so next
oh,
up we have the front. Yeah?
Yeah, so I know that Phil said that she reloaded the audio. So before we move on, let's try the intro one more time. Just
excellent.
To bring a little more music into this. So give us 1 second here. Give it a shot.
Just my kind. I'll take this gun to you.
Okay, that was our intro. So, and I really liked it. And what that was something that our admin for this group, Fill My Eyes with Poetry, had picked out as a Halloween Haunted New Orleans opener. Quite appropriate. Okay, so, Neutron, I know you've got the next poem loaded up and ready to be worked. So I am turning it back to you.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to get Pam to read this one, The French Wench.
All right. Well, as long as you're not expecting me to do it in my best Blanche DuBois accent, I think we'll be good. So, whoever you are, I have always depended on the kindness of strangers. Blanche DuBois, to whoever you are. Ladies and gentlemen callers, tonight for your listening pleasure, Mama Goddamn Singing Jazz Street. Before you leave New Orleans, see Belle Reveille, beyond the outskirts of the city heat, hop any streetcar's hot jazz up its sleeve and jump off when you feel it skip a beat. Addiction hard in need of something sweet, a scent of parlor flowers be its guide, along a narrow trail of bloody feet, up leading to that big, bad, muddy ride. If ain't a body ever to you lied, trip on ahead with all them many few, to where a thing still lying on its side, your mama and your daddy always knew. And when the clock of yours won't wheel on back, beg that old thing not on your cutthroat snack. The melody, oh, that's just, okay. The dedication of respect for the 1 in 4 human suffering worldwide from a neurological disorder, a revolving helio sonnet, spitting satire, Menethin song. October 2022, yet this Halloween's Eve, still everywhere around New Orleans, countless not being loosed from straitjackets and padded cells. And poem. And I apologize. I'm not 100% sure that that end part was part of the poem. So if I read that wrong, I'm sorry.
Well, a nice read there, Pam. And I love how Dr. Junior's 3 brought in all the elements that make New Orleans such a, you know, time immemorial world-class city. The Tennessee Williams immortalizing, you know, the city in Streetcar, and the Blanche DuBois, whoever you are, I've always depended on the kindness of strangers, bringing us that, you know, true pathos of a meltdown into insanity. And, you know, it's just sad, and it's a good tribute. And what I wrote was that there is nothing more terrifying than real life. The lyrical poem hints at the horror trapped in the inner workings of mind. And I think that's what Streetcar is really all about, is how this woman is just, you know, downward spiral. And we're kind of like, as people watching the play, we're witnesses to this downward spiral of the French Wench. And your thoughts on it, Neutron?
You know, in my initial reading of the poem, I must admit, I was drawn to the punchiness of the rite and the almost vaudeville jibe to the beginning. But I think in listening to it being read and the fitting title, The French Wench and DuBois, I think your comment regarding the spiral into despair or into insanity is exactly where it's at. I was drawn to the last couplet, though, and when that clock of yours won't wheel on back, beg that old thing not on your cutthroat snack. It was a fast-paced rite, and definitely had that performance value to it. And I was very glad to hear it read on the show tonight. Well done.
Excellent comment. And Pam, as reader, I'll give you final word.
Yes, I thought you both said very thoughtful things. I like that, as you mentioned, Richard, that, you know, this is the ugliness of reality. And as you said, Neutron, it had a very lyrical quality to it, a great performance quality. I like how this had that sing-song vibe to it. You know, I can tell, like you can tell from putting the notes in there, you know, this poet must know a thing or two about music. That definitely speaks to me on the whole idea of suffering from the nervous breakdown, from, you know, mental illness, and perhaps there's even that idea of those who live on the street because they can't find the help that they need. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comments. Okay, Neutron, where are we going next?
All right. So we have a poem by Grant G. And Richard, if you could read this one, please, that would be great.
Sure. Okay. So this is Grant G. It's called Standing Alone. Standing alone in a city unknown, a country lass who's far from home. Bus has just left, returning to the west. She don't know a soul. Sitting down on a bench in town, her face is a frown, legs worn. It's 3 a.m., she ain't got a friend. An old dog lies, chewing a bone. Turning her head, she hears footsteps, but no one walks near at all. A trumpet plays, feet tap away, then whistles and laughter so high. Her eyes glance to the side, catching a flash by surprise. She's seen a naked man, a ghost of old times, as if that made it okay. End of poem. And Neutron, if we can start comments with you, what'd you think?
Sure. I thought it was an accessible tale. The language is simple, but it captures very well an eerie scene in New Orleans. The new trumpet player skittering away was a fun touch, although I feel the main protagonist was not really appreciative given her wobbly legs and defeated voice during the witching hour. The rhyming in some places added to the cadence of the piece, and I think you read it quite well, Richard. Very well done, both of you.
Great comment. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I always like how Grant has these short, hard-hitting lines that have an edginess to them. And I like how, in this case, he tells us a tale, a story, but it's all too realistic about that young, innocent person who is experiencing, you know, the big city for the first time, and all the sights and sounds. I particularly like where he has, it's 3 a.m., she ain't got a friend, an old dog lies chewing a bone. Turning her head, she hears footsteps, but no one walks near at all. He really, within those two stanzas, sets an atmosphere and builds up the intensity. And I would say only in New Orleans would you see the ghost of a naked man. But considering I remember seeing a guy streaking down 6th Street in Austin back when I was in my early 20s, I'm pretty sure they're not just limited to New Orleans. But yeah, this was just a great write.
Great comment there, Pam. Yeah, I too really like this piece. I felt the rhyming scheme aided that haunted New Orleans jazz trumpet poem. I like the good ambiguity regarding the naked man, how the story is open to multiple interpretations regarding, is it a ghost? Is it ghostly? So I thought it added a nice Halloweenish vibe to the close of the poem. Very well done. Okay, Neutron, where would you like to go?
Okay, so I'm going to get our poems up next. So I'll give mine a read first. It's called Outgunned, and it goes like this. A candle doused in the cool blue flame of the life I outgunned. I crave the rush of blood beating in my ears, the adrenaline pulsing through my youth when laser beams penetrated my irises and the thump of the doof-doof dilated my eyes, filled my brain, coalesced with my heartbeat. It overtook the concrete floor littered with water bottles, exercising the flickering demon, ever-present in the roar of the crowd, innervating my hide with raw synapses flummoxed like a Mexican wave, capriciously traveling along the backbone of the arterial highway to foothills unknown. End poem.
Great read, great poem. So, and I gave this one multiple reads, Neutron, because it did seem quite layered. And what I got from it was that this was an exorcist, either literally or figuratively, who had battled one too many demons and was physically and mentally exhausted from the fight. I thought it was a very strong offering outside of the traditional Halloween box and asking us to think on the real horror and the real demons of our world. A great poem. Very well done, my friend. And
thank you.
Pam, your thoughts?
I really like what you had to say. Am I off mute? Let me check. Yes, I am. Thank goodness. Okay. I really like what you had to say, Richard, about the idea of metaphorically or literally an exorcist who has done one too many exorcisms and it's drained them. I got a similar thought before I heard you comment, and I was thinking on the whole idea, that idea of those spirits or those demons that we battle not only within ourselves but around us, and all that the idea of all that we don't see going on in people's lives or even in our own lives. This is just powerful imagery and metaphor. I like how there's so much brought in here that you can almost see it being like the idea of a poltergeist, a candle doused, overtook the concrete floor littered with water bottles. You know, I mean, the movement is so, there's such a sense of chaos within that kind of imagery. Through my youth, when laser beams penetrated my irises and the thump of the doof-doof dilated my eyes, filled my brain, coalescing with my heartbeat. You can really feel the connection between the rhythm of the music, the drums and the spirits to this person's own spirit that, you know, is perhaps darkened by that presence. So excellent write and very well done.
Thanks, Pam.
Great comment, Pam. Okay, and where would you like to go next?
Okay, so I'm going to get Pam's poem up next. So Pam, when you're ready, go for it.
All right, this is The Old Absent House, and it goes like this. I was devoured by flames and rose from ashes over 200 years ago. In the hearts of two brothers, I was birthed, put together piece by piece till I stood tall and proud on a testament to the American dream and New Orleans zest for life. Through my doors, people came and went, bartering for goods with wry wit and soulful chatter. Throughout my lifetime, I have seen near everything, including people both wealthy and infamous, authors, artists, pirates, and presidents. I have all sipped the nectar I offer. Even the common man who knows these streets and the dark waters of this area has come to me, whistles wetted with Zazarac and absinthe frappes. During Prohibition, I was the go-to place for those in the know and those who knew to ask the right questions. I am the continuation of history. I am the intertwined dreams of smoke, beads, and jazz. I am the home of those who defy the tiresome judgment of a priggish society. My glowing lights and dark corners have embraced those with all manners of vices. But it is not just the living who gather to me. Like many old buildings of New Orleans, I am a gateway for the spirit realm. Death is not the end, but rather the opening into a new mind's eye. And those who are restless in this life will continue to be restless in the next. Now, my newfound friend, slowly sip your bourbon and open yourself to the sights and sounds of spectral entities that call me their home. Listen to them whisper. Listen to them laugh. Merry mischief and a refusal to let go. And who can blame them? I am the old absent house of Bourbon Street. Within my walls, you are welcome to be yourself. In both life and death, you are welcome to dance in the arms of the green fairy and know the dark kiss of voodoo queens. My ghosts are my heart, and my heart beats strong with a love for New Orleans. Laissez la bon moment d'oler et quel licon se fait conter. End poem.
Great read and great poem, Pam.
Thank you. I meant to practice the French lines a little more, but thank you.
Well, luckily for myself, I don't speak French, so it sounded perfect to me.
<That's great. laughs>
I have to say that if there was a master class on what personification in writing is and is supposed to be, this poem would be part of that master class, because you really show exactly how it is done, you know, and you take it from the beginning of its history and tell the story in first person singular. You are that place. Which is a wonderful mechanism of storytelling. And then, of course, you have this arc where you go from an ordinary personification to what lives in your heart, and that is where this turns into a ghost story. And certainly any of us that have lived in big cities know that ghosts inhabit these old buildings in big cities. So I just thought you did a wonderful job with this piece, and it was just wonderful work. And you made a believer out of me regarding the ghosts of the absent house. Good job.
Thank you.
And Neutron, your thoughts?
Look, I have to agree with you there, Richard, in regards to the personification. And I actually, on second read, was really drawn to the power of the repetition of I am. I am the old absence house of Bourbon Street. In my notes beforehand, I was drawn to this insight in these lines, and those who were restless in this life will continue to be restless in the next. It kind of reminds me of the principles of purgatory, but I can understand why entities still haunt the halls of this place. My favorite part was, in both life and death, you're welcome to dance in the arms of the green fairy and know the dark kiss of voodoo queens. It welcomed those of all backgrounds with loving arms to indulge in one's predilections, and who would want to leave that? Well done.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, great piece. Okay, Neutron, where would you like to go?
Okay, I'm going to bring up your poem next, Richard. So if you just want to introduce it while I get the link up, that would be great.
Oh, sure. So so I wrote a piece about Marie Laveau, because I kind of feel like she is the soul of New Orleans, and especially of voodoo. Mixing of all these things, the voodoo culture with the Roman Catholic saints, and the whole thing kind of just comes together with her in her life, and even more so with the sacred space of her grave. So it's called The Fears. Creaky boarded wooden panes mask childhood's shattered glass. Spanish moss drapes over our spellbound oaks. Crack open the great book of incantations to repair my Southern Trust Bank's ever-dwindling checkbook as it approaches Confederate dollar homelessness. French Quarter Laveau's bourbon lipstick face silently mouths, "What's wrong, Diablo?" Reply in voodoo whisper, "I got the fears." Old black demon wings beat on my cold metal fifth floor walk-up door frame, his hot red pokers knocking, knocking, while leaden-eyed alky vapors begs for nickels, asking, offering milk water. Rainy season of the hopeless, rain of the skewered, turning pig spit, canceled eyes of the slave time voodoo priestess, silently screams, "Sodomize your virgin Creole daughters in keeping with Marie's chaste spirit." I wander lonely, desolate midday bayou engines rev hot, hotter, no daffodils, gators, or crawdaddies. Under her dark chocolate rays we melt, till dusk vomits its purple bile pathos across the bayou, till the lunar glow rises over her red and black ex-tombstone. Our poisoned fates silently mirror these diesel-skinned gulf waters with fever prayers to the cemetery goddess Laveau to rise up and bury us. End of poem.
Great read, Richard, and great write. And I have to say, the manner in which you have fully encapsulated the vibe of the bayou was fantastic. And for me, at least, you really transported me to the New Orleans of old with this write. And I was drawn to the last stanza. I won't repeat the whole thing, but this part in particular, "Under her dark chocolate rays, we melt till dusk vomits its purple bile pathos across the bayou, till the lunar glow rises over her red and black ex-tombstones." The phrasing was superb and unique, and a great answer to the Marie Laveau prompt. And Pam, what were your thoughts?
Oh, I have to agree, definitely a great answer to the prompt. You know, this was such an atmospheric piece. It paid a wonderful tribute to the spirit of Marie Laveau, who, as you said, really represents the spirit of that side of the hoodoo side of New Orleans. You know, this was thoughtful. It was dark and haunting. I love the imagery in it, especially in that second and that third stanza, "Old black demon wings beat on my cold metal fifth floor walk-up door frame, his hot, red-hot pokers knocking, knocking." I mean, all the way through, just very dark and visceral, and just, you know, the whole idea of the what potentially haunts this city, this time period. So wonderful write and very well done.
Thanks so much, Pam. Okay, Neutron, where would you like to go next?
Okay, so I've got Namdag Somo up next, and I will give this one a read, just making sure there wasn't a sound cloud. So it's called "Apprentice to Marie Laveau." "I am apprentice to Marie Laveau, voodoo queen of New Orleans. I wonder how she spent her days and nights. I hear her conjuring the great serpent spirit as I become filled. I see her wearing her queen of voodoo crown proudly. I want a taste of the queen's freedom. I am an apprentice to the great Laveau. I pretend to conjure magical beings, feeling swirling forces lifting me towards endless sky. I touch far-off galaxies and then worry, will I touch their mysteries once more? I cry over the loneliness and heartache all around. I am apprentice to the queen. I understand nothing is ever as it seems. I say that. I believe this to be true. I dream of unity, connecting with love, in hopes of healing on all levels. For the universe's many worlds, I am apprentice to the great Marie Laveau. The gossip and embellishments that surrounded her life were in abundance. One can never know for sure, and then just maybe one should leave well enough alone. End poem.
Great read, Neutron. Yeah, so I love this one. I had never heard the story until I read this poem. So here you've got Marie's daughter masquerading as Marie Laveau to fool people into thinking that her magic is so strong that it helps her to defy old age. And it makes you wonder how her daughter must have felt to be, you know, trapped in this role. And it's kind of bittersweet because on the one hand, she's trapped in this role of having to pretend to be her mom. But on the other hand, she gets to live this glorious life, you know, without having to go through all the hard knocks that it took Marie Laveau to become who she was. So it's just such a captivating story and very well done. And Pam, your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I remember this one, and it's one of those that's definitely worth hearing again, and it was absolutely fascinating, like you said, to learn the story behind it. You know, perfect right for this show. I like the first-person narrative. I like how, you know, there's this kind of torn feeling between their realization of their own importance, but yet at the same time, the realization that they're never going to be truly themselves. I really like this all the way through, but especially I pretend to conjure magical beings, feeling swirling forces lifting me forward towards endless sky. I touch far-off galaxies and then worry, will I touch their mysteries once more? I cry over the loneliness and heartache all around. The emotion, there's really an emotional impact within those lines. So beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And Neutron, as reader, I'll give you final word.
Yeah, look, I'm actually really happy that you two commented first because I was, like, when I read this the first time, I wasn't actually aware that it was written with Marie Laveau's daughter as the main protagonist. So it brings even more meaning to, I want a taste of the Queen's freedom. I am an apprentice to the great Laveau. So she's almost trapped under the coattails of this character that she has to effectively continue to further the mystery surrounding Marie Laveau. And then you jump down to, I dream of unity connecting with love in hopes of healing on all levels for the universe's many worlds. So while she's also trapped, she's seeing that she's fulfilling an emotional purpose for the healing of those around her that rely on the hoodoo or voodoo magic of one Marie Laveau. And healing sometimes comes with time and distance. Other times we need to connect to a higher power than oneself, and she's furthering that effectively and connecting to the universe and those in it, releasing trauma wound tightly around the soul. Great ride.
Absolutely. Great comment. Okay, so where would you like to go next?
Okay, so I've got Eric Svensson's poem up. I'm just going to double check whether there is a sound. Well, there is. Yep.
There is. Yep. So we should be good with that. Let me just pull it.
Bound by sound. grounded by the sound of tribal drums, passionate pulses from me, gourds and calabash, rhythm, rattlesnake tails. African-American roots run deep, steep gold-veined bedrock crosses continents, deep-rooted cerebral magic can't be constrained, while Art Nouveau magic mesmerized Europeans. Voodoo Queen Marie Laveau mystified Louisiana. Two sides of a golden coin, unlike full gold coin. Voodoo roots carried in bloodlines, in cahoots with master magician nature. Practitioners see, sense, smell, hear, and taste natural laws. Grounded by the sound of tribal drums, gather round. Be bound by passionate pulses with an open mind. With Einstein, chant, everything is a miracle, or nothing is a miracle. Voodoo Queen Marie Laveau of Louisiana mystified. Unified segregated folks with a cerebral magic. Herbs, poultices, gree-gree bags, and protective African amulets. Bound by sound, centuries later, spiritual roots ground bloodlines north and south of the equator. Devil's advocate, adjudicator, not needed. The old ways remain preserved by the elders. Bush telegraph drums, primordial syncopation, Louisiana swamp cornucopia contained medical energy. Fear not the night devoid of light. Fight not the urge to disengage from cerebral discourse. Bound by sound, allow insight's Big Bang implosion. Voodoo Queen Marie Laveau still mystifies Louisiana as a powerful sisters here in Africa do the Ubuntu voodoo. Such powerful hearts don't curse, vex, or hex. Grounded by sound, bound by sight, magical moments electrify dire doldrum days. Ancient faith in modern day action defies classification. Art Nouveau beautified the altar, while Voodoo Queen Marie Laveau clarified inner spooks, ghouls, and ghosts. End poem.
Thank you for the SoundCloud, Eric. Great job as always. And Neutron, if we can start comments off of you, what'd you think?
Sure. I think that Eric has given this poem poetic life and to a historical narrative nonetheless, drawing the correlation to Mother Africa alive in Louisiana. I was particularly fond of this line, "Here such powerful hearts don't curse, vex, or hex." I can almost guarantee that there is a level of misunderstanding of Ubuntu voodoo And Eric has shed some light on this. Great post.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is definitely a beautiful and captivating rite. I really like it how it speaks on the vibrations and the voices, the vibrations of life that kind of connect us all, the way those drum beats connect to the spirit. And I like how it pays tribute and writes on the history of voodoo and the African American history and the New Orleans history. I really like the imagery in While Art Nouveau Magic Mesmerized Europeans, Voodoo Queen Marie Laveau Mystified Louisiana, Two Sides of a Golden Coin, Unlike Fool's Gold Skin, Voodoo Roots Carried in Bloodlines. Just such a wonderful tribute to this particular woman and to her character and to the history of New Orleans throughout the centuries. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, I agree with you both. I think he did a wonderful job in debunking the myth that the voodoo queen Marie Laveau was, hexing people and using black magic. And instead, he shows what she really did, that she was a spiritual leader of her community. And I loved how he showed Laveau's legacy, how her persona is still very much alive in New Orleans today among the faithful practitioners of voodoo. Nicely done. And Neutron, where would you like to go?
So, Richard, if you could give Peter Solway's poem a read.
Okay. So let me get there. Yep. Okay, so this is by Peter Solway. It's called Street Band. Randy Devil to blow his trumpet up and down Widow's Lane. Teach them voodoo gyrations when the rich typhoons come. Pay for mother's hip operation, yelling donate, mother's down Widow's Lane, or Mr. Wolf will blow out lights, street lamps first, then more private bulbs. But no porn signs, diluted Creole, undrowned folks returning home, sick of smelly gymnasiums, bad jazz station. End of poem. And if we can start comments off with you, Pam, what'd you think?
As always, well, great read there, Richard. Peter does definitely offer up an intriguing write with great wordplay and, just very, I don't want to say unusual, but yeah, unusual, just different and clever imagery and metaphors. My written comment was great imagery and excellent write on lust-filled ghosts of New Orleans parading the jazz fandango to the radio tunes. There was something in this, especially with the mention of the Widow's Lane and Mother's Hip operation, the idea of trying to lose oneself in the party atmosphere in order to forget the process of aging. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely, great comment. And Neutron, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I don't know if my read is correct or not, but at least in the second half of the poem, it seemed to be hinting at the gentrification that goes on, at least in part, far removed from the murky past that made New Orleans infamous, kind of like King's Cross in Sydney, which was once the dirty underbelly and now more resembles a homogenized version of itself, less bars and no red light district and more cafes and gymnasiums. I was drawn to, but no porn signs, diluted Creole, undrowned folks returning home sick of smelly gymnasiums, bad jazz station. Really well done.
That is a great interpretation. I didn't actually catch that, but I think you're spot on. Same thing happened to New York, Manhattan, the Hell's Kitchen area. When I was growing up, it was basically, you know, hookers and dock workers. And nowadays it's Disneyland and Starbucks. So I think you're spot on there in that read. I am sure that New Orleans went through very similar stuff, probably especially in the aftermath of Katrina. It gave developers all the excuses that they needed to rebuild and gentrify the downtown area, especially the areas that were hit by Katrina. So I am pretty sure that your read is spot on there. I too really love this poem. I thought it had that Bourbon Street vibe and was just a very strong offering. I like that Randy Devil to blow his trumpet up and down Widow's Lane, teach them voodoo gyrations, ready when rich typhoons come. So great offering. Does quite a bit in actually a pretty brief poem. Nicely done. And with that, I'm turning it back to you for our next one.
Okay, so Pam, if you could read Betty Page's poem, that would be great.
I would be happy to. Pirate's Lair by Betty Page. Down in New Orleans, secretly hidden this lair, haunted by pirates. Haunting tales be told, Miss Seductress's midnights, ghosts of long ago, scents of bayonets, swirl around, alluring me sweet, luring me in deep, melodic music, sipping whiskey, mint juleps. I dance with their ghosts, daydreaming of nights filled with mischievousness, drunken revelry. End poem.
Great read, Pam. And I thought this was a wonderful introduction to the Pirate's Lair, that, and especially I liked it because I had not heard of it prior to reading the Bretley. So it's always nice to, you know, have a story that gives you more color to a city that you love. So, wonderful piece. And Neutron, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I was impressed with the brevity. I've never heard of the place either, but my knowledge of New Orleans is probably a little lax. But I was drawn to the nostalgic and lyrical quality the poem had to it. And to be a fly on the wall, stories of old paved the streets of New Orleans, and I really need to get there one day. Great ride.
Absolutely. And Pam, as reader, I'll give you final word.
All right. Me and you both, Neutron. I've never been to New Orleans either. I really liked learning about this story, too. As always, Betty's got great 5-7-5 lines, wonderful imagery. I love how she brings us into not only the dancing and the music and the hauntings, but the taste and the food and the drinks. I thought was just wonderful. I really liked melodic music, sipping whiskey, mint juleps. I dance with their ghosts. Wonderful lines and beautifully written.
Okay, so it sounds like out of the three of us, I'm the one with the Louisiana history, so I'll tell you guys the story. So my wife was an Air Force brat, which meant that she kind of moved around from air base to air base whenever her dad got reassigned. And so she spent her kind of late middle school, early high school years in Shreveport-Bossier City, Louisiana, which is not New Orleans, but, you know, you go through New Orleans to get there if you're driving. And so that entire trip, they had a reunion, high school reunion. And so we drove there, and that entire trip, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I had Cajun food. And my wife was like, I just want a salad. And I'm like, more Cajun food. Bring me some gumbo. So I got enough of a fill of Cajun food to last a lifetime. And I do. I really love it. It's just so, you know, it's very flavorful, spicy. It's got just, you know, seafood, and it's really good.
Oh, yum.
So that's good. Yeah, that's my New Orleans story. Literally had it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Yeah. So never disappointed. And we drove through New Orleans. We ate, I think, lunch there, but we were on our way to this reunion, which was in a different city, so we didn't spend much time there. But I have been there.
Did you get to try one of those?
Never.
What are those powdered sugar donuts or pastries, bayonets, or are those what I'm thinking of? You know,
I had that.
Yeah, with the powdered sugar. Yeah, those look delicious. I've seen those on cooking shows.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely had one of those. And good coffee. And, yeah, and mainly it was all about the gumbos, which I had ad infinitum. Yeah. Yeah, and it is. People forget. It's a food city, you know, because it was settled by the French, so. Okay, so with that, we'll move on to our next Haunted New Orleans poem. What do we got?
All right, we've got CRL 17, and I think this poem would benefit from your voice, Richard, so I'm going to hand this one to you.
Okay, so this is CRL 17. It's called Queen City Cult, short story. The night of the wicked was upon us. Was a coven of the evildoers who had gathered at the St. Louis Cemetery. It was the night, the Lucifer moon, a night that demands a human sacrifice. There must be blood. In the center of the cemetery, a young woman, tied and gagged, was laying on the ground. In unison, the cult members began to chant, conjuring up October's wicked night. Each member of the group had their faces covered, wearing blood-red hoodies. In the dark mist, the voices called out to Lucifer to accept their sacrificial victim. Fire came up from the ground. She began to twist and turn as smoke enveloped her body. Suddenly, her body rose into the air, then fell quickly to the ground. She was still breathing and moving. The leader of the group knelt down, took her by the neck, and in one swift motion, her neck snapped. The sacrifice was complete. End of short story. And Pam, if we can start comments off with you.
Yeah, that was quite the epic short story. Really didn't have a lot of words, but it really spoke strongly on evil and the idea of human sacrifices that are done in the name of evil. I really liked the imagery in the first stanza, especially with the mention of the night of the Lucifer moon. And then the last stanza with fire came up from the ground. She began to twist and turn as smoke enveloped her body. Just extremely visceral and extremely dark. Excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And Neutron, your thoughts?
I think this could have easily been a modern-day slasher film, or at least the narrative for it, and it was an interesting take on the dark side of New Orleans. Very well done.
Absolutely, yeah. I, too, really like this one. You know, it's a coven of witches and calling in the Prince of Darkness and human sacrifice. I mean, that is really about as evil as it gets. And I thought it was a strong, dark brevity on the evil side of New Orleans. And a perfect offering for a haunted New Orleans night celebration in anticipation of Halloween. Okay, so where would you like to go next?
Well, I have a question for Pam. Do we know if Rex is calling in tonight? Because if he is, I will hold his poem over. Otherwise, I'll get him up next.
You can go ahead and put him up next because I haven't heard anything about him calling in.
Excellent. All right.
And we do have a SoundCloud, too.
Oh, excellent. Fantastic. Even better.
Yeah. Yep. So, and this one was interesting because I read the piece. And then he gave us the SoundCloud, I don't know, this late afternoon. And I gave a listen, and sure enough, I didn't realize it, but it's a song. So it definitely, the SoundCloud is going to help. And I am playing it right now.
In the folds of rocky roadways, deep in southern charm, where Spanish moss curls in storms before the calm, you see a ghostly figure wafting in a cool mango breeze. And in those cypress boggy waters, some minds begin to hear growling of the gators and bullfrog's bloated notes with crickets on violins you wished you'd had a boat. There she goes with her oil lamp. Here I am on the shore. There she is out by your vamp. There I am wanting more. Well, you're waist deep in waters murk. As she slowly disappears, you see the eyes upon you, knowing where you stand, but you can't help yourself when those teeth take you by the hand. Most times you know what's coming, other times you don't. You know your food for gators, losing all your hope, but in those final moments you see that swamp's full scope. There she goes with her oil lamp. Here I am, waterbound. There she is, out by your vamp. And here I am, nothing found. Out in the moonlit swamp, all shredded in the fray, you wash the skin slough off. It's been a bad day. Every drop of blood it leaks in a bayou's whispered play. As the evening saunters in, you see her once again in the echoes of those tears daubed within her lace. She bends to say goodbye and gently kisses your face. There she goes with her oil lamp. Here I am, forever bound. There she goes, I'll buy you lamp, and I shall not be found. There she goes with her oil lamp. Here I am, forever bound. There she goes, I'll buy you vamp, and I shall not be found.
Thank you for the SoundCloud, Rex. So I read this poem without having heard the SoundCloud first. And it's an interesting way to get it, because you appreciate it on its own, just in terms of the lyrics. And I have to say, it stands up on its own, just as a poem. But having heard the SoundCloud and the tribute, the parody of Bob Seger's Turn the Page, it brings a whole other element. I mean, you know, it just shows you the depth of the talent that we are fortunate enough to have here. The guy sings it a cappella and throughout, and to have all of the lyrics come together for a song that's totally different is quite an accomplishment, and he does it just so effortlessly. Great year for the Bayou dialect, and the rhymes accentuated and reinforced. So even casual reader was rhyming in Cajun by the end. And beyond all that, it's a first-class storytelling poem of backwoods bayou and ghostly romance. Wonderful job. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is definitely top-shelf quality poetry. Rex really does have a good ear for dialects and for music. It was a spot on parody. I had the same thing happen to me where I read it, and I read it as a poem, and then when he told me it was a parody, it was like, oh, wow, that, you know. And then to listen to it, it's always a treat to hear his voice when he sings. And I really like how he brings us into the swamps of New Orleans, and he brings to us this song about total devotion and the kind of devotion and love that goes beyond the boundaries of death. I like how it drags the soul into the despair of the swamps and creates that idea of that bond that happens forever. So excellent write and very well done.
Comment there, Pam. And Neutron, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with both of you wholeheartedly. Again, I didn't hear the SoundCloud beforehand, so I was pointing to the lyrical cadence of the bayou in this piece, and it was a little tongue-in-cheek and also a little Fatal Attraction all in one. Now, Jeremy Effer, one of our LNP hosts, actually mentioned in the comments, stay away from those swamp ladies. And I have to agree with him on that one, with eyes that coax you towards nefarious gator stew. And I just have to say, in relation to the singing, the tone and the fact that it was a parody just brings it next level for me, because it really did not read like a parody at all on first review. So well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, great. And so here's a little bit of history coming in. So one of the things that they used to say when asked, you know, by, so these 20s ladies were kind of hipsters, you know, they were hip in their own era, and they called them flappers. But then there was also this other name, vamp. And someone asked a vamp, what's the difference between a flapper and a vamp? And the answer was, I don't know if you know this, Neutron, have you heard this story?
No, I haven't. I'm really interested.
Okay. So the answer is that a flapper is suggestive of sexuality, and a vamp will actually do it. Which, you know, back in those days was a big deal, right? Because there's no birth control or anything. So, so anyway, that's the Bayou Vamp. So that's the difference, and you know,
excellent.
There you are. Okay, so I see our next poem is up, and who would you like to read it?
I might give this one a go. Pardon the bad French in it,
great.
But I will give it a try. So it's a poem by William S. Pendragon, and it's called Rougarou Hoodoo by Marie Laveau. Sorry, I'll say that again. Rougarou Hoodoo, Marie Laveau. And it goes like this. Sent over from France, hexed with French hoodoo, given into the queen magic black voodoo, living in the backwoods
swamps of the Louisiana Bayou, any swamp monster knows Krishna, Marie Laveau. A red mist and fog blankets the swamps and isles of the bayou, where wolves and men share the jail-like case-hardened cages, blood spilled, splattered around and over the grounds and floors, provided the stench that filled the air around their prison doors. Transformed men, where the Ruguru are caged to do the bidding, a blood moon rises, the change begins with chartreuse glowing eyes, razor-honed canines with man's hands sharply clawed, same with all, body hair, head to toe, massive musculature, standing 7 feet tall, albeit a werewolf, Ruguru, or skinwalker, monsters all die the same. New Orleans-born hunter carries a pure silver Toledo sword, holy water carried in a flask to help him to finish his task, silver hooded chainmail to repel any bites or scratches, a statuesque man having a vigorous intuit, empowered white voodoo, hunter tracking the Ruguru to the Isle of Laveau, a violent skirmish ensued, scathed, blood-soaked and bathed, now he owned the head of the decapitated Ruguru. End of poem.
I thought that was an excellent read there, Neutron. Very well done. And a great poem, a strong Bayou Halloween offering. I love the use of white voodoo to battle and defeat the Ruguru. Great job, William. And Pam, I'm not sure if you had a chance to hear that one or read that one.
Yeah, I did. Well, I had read it earlier, and I really like how he goes. It was so epic in its presentation of the swamp area of New Orleans and the dark side of the New Orleans Bayou. I love how he brings in the imagery of a blood moon, and he brings up the different, like werewolf, Ruguru, or skinwalk monsters. You know, I like that he brings up that there's different versions of what we would, you know, like those creatures that transform from man into a beast or man into an animal. And there's such a part of many different cultures. Just amazing how he has us following along this hunter, and this voodoo hunter, this on this adventure to hunt down this evil, that's there within the land. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comments there, Pam. And Neutron, as reader, I'll give you final word.
So I think this contest has actually treated us with some great rights, and this was one of them, a great offer for All Hallows Eve, albeit a little early, a very provoking rite steeped in fantasy and folklore, incorporating very eerie imagery. The descriptive factor and word choices were superb, very nicely penned.
Absolutely. Great comment. Okay, and we are ready for our next one.
Okay, so just checking I wasn't on mute. If Pam can read Jessica D's short story, that would be great.
I would be happy to. All right. And Witch's Siphon by Jessica D. When the first fingers of dust crept into the quarter, she licked the last drops of coffee from her lips and rose. She'd waited the last few hours at Cafe on Decatur Street, drinking endless coffees and thrumming with anticipation as the crowd swelled and the costumes grew in prevalence. As the light faded, so did her shackles, tattoos rippling and dripping from her outstretched palms, turning to smoking drops before they could hit the pavement. Power rushed into her when the last drop had fallen, feeding on the caffeine she'd forced into her body. 12 hours she had on this hallowed eve, 12 hours before the old goddess shackled her once again, 12 hours where not a soul in the city could stand against her will. Music pulled her from wasted moments of reverie, her feet following unbidden. This music had subtle power, not strong, perhaps, but clever work all the same. She stopped her feet with a flicker of will, and with another bid, the flow of people part around her, a smile playing across her moist lips, reaching slowly above her ear. She curled the fingers of her left hand around the musical pole and yanked her hand back hard. In the near distance, the music cut out with a screech, and a plaintive cry rose and carried long, smiling broadly. She skipped forward a few paces, placing her fist to her mouth as she went. She breathed deeply through her fist, savoring the tasty morsel of magic. The sweetness of the appetizer only deepened her hunger, and she thought how right that dusty old book was, the one that claimed the very strongest witches could be found in New Orleans. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Neutron, if we could start with you, what'd you think?
Sure. I think Jessica D set the scene very well for Hallow's Eve in New Orleans. And her descriptive phrases captured my attention in this prose piece. It feels as if this could be an excerpt from a longer format short story, and it left me wanting more, especially the ending. She breathed deeply through her fist, savoring the tasty morsel of magic. The sweetness of the appetizer only deepened her hunger. Very enjoyable.
Great comment, Neutron. Yeah, I too really loved this storytelling, right? It had all of the elements of French Quarter, New Orleans, and the implied magic of the place. There's something about, you know, off-the-nose storytelling where it makes it even more spooky that you allude to the magic, you allude to the witches, and that forces our imagination to fill in the blanks, and that can make it even more spooky if done correctly. And I think that's what she's accomplished here. So very skillful writing, very well done. And Pam, I'll give you final word.
Yes, I am very impressed with this write. It's one of those that's worth hearing every Halloween week. You know, just as you said, very skillful storytelling, the alluding to the darkness, up until that, you know, that really doesn't come through until that very end. And just a strong ending with the lines, you know, that the old dusty book was the one that claimed the very strongest witches could be found in New Orleans. I also really love the line, 12 hours she had on this hallowed eve, 12 hours before the old goddess shackled her once again. So, wonderful storytelling and very well done.
Thanks so much, Pam. Great comments. Okay, Neutron, back to you.
Okay, so now we have a poem by Memuel called Papa Lake Bar. I'll give this one a read. She chants in time with the rolling drum beats, dancing for the right as the ground and round she turns along the ground, stomping bare feet. Her sweaty, salty, sweet. Papa Legba, she cries into the night sky. Papa Legba, come to us. As she grinds her feet into the dust, dagger in hand, she raises her arm to plunge it deep down into the goat's heart. The sacrifice done, her ululation heightens, then suddenly stops. My child, I have come. He broke away from the shadows, a shade darker than night. Amid a flying of crows, he smiled, teeth pearly white. The dogs howled in welcome for the dark one. Speak, my child, what is your desire? As his eyes glowed with inner fire. Let me speak with my lost love, she begged him as she kneeled. You have the power, do you not? She answered by a thundered peal. Foolish child, he roared, am I but a mere messenger? I am the gatekeeper between the world and the next. But if you want to have your lover back in your arms, you have to pay something dear, he said, all grave and charm. Anything, she answered in haste, and with that her eyes rolled back and she fell to the ground like a sack, her soul bound in a bottle tied to his waist. His laughter ringing, he went back into the shadows. The drummers clamored, panicked, and left the poor girl among the dogs. End poem.
Great read, Neutron. Yeah, I love this piece. This was a wonderfully dark storytelling poem where Papa Legba's bottles another soul for his waist belt. I felt it authentic from beginning to close. And that's really what is offered here is the suspension of disbelief. The myth comes to life and this woman's lost her soul. And it's just another, you know, another ethery vapor in Papa Legba's bottle collection. Oh, very well done. Spooky stuff. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a brilliant dark write. I love how deep she gets into the darkness, how she has this communication between this woman who so desperately wants to talk to her love once again and Papa Legba. And it was the ending which really got to me. And the idea that these panicked drummers who no longer have seen that she's now dead and no longer of use to them to communicate to Papa Legba and to the spirit realm drops her amongst the dogs. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Neutron, I'm going to give you a final word.
I think Papa Legba is explained with dark nuance, and her soul to keep in a bottle on his waist was a very evocative response to the French Quarter prompt. I think it brings adage to the saying, be careful what you wish for. Very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. Okay, we are ready for our next poem.
All right, Richard, I'm going to get you to read the next one. It's a performative piece, so I think it's right in your wheelhouse by Irish Rose.
Okay. Yep, I see it. Okay, this is called In the Glow by Irish Rose. The dark blue smile of a hot New Orleans night casts purple thoughts through rude demonic eyes. Down the street past the cemetery goes, searching for herself, Marie Laveau. Spirits swarm by lights, parabolic gleams. Lucifer calls, crowing to the spirits, raw moody scenes, releasing those in the hot road down below. No, her grand name is Marie Laveau. Diva of darkness and queen on the throne, voodoo's divine sorceress commands all her own that mingles round in the cold, cold black ground with those that have grand claws, scales, and three toes and maul and bite in the pitch of blackened night where only death walks. By candlelight glow. The Jesus he knows day shadows walk sneaky slow and watches where they go dancing and devils all glow knows their names, one by one, calling them up. They curl and run down and onto a black tongue skin that's plunging down below. The blow swallowed up and gone. Below and into the real below, where vile bats howl and demon wolves growl and bladed spirit eyes bend, glint and see the screaming in the blood loud, glowing green that covers raw thoughts with a sticky black snow. Scream, scream, dripping out slow from mossy oak trees and mental worms squirming in nightmarish dreams that slowly drips and leaks running in and out low to green beams. Then through your brains crack leaky boo scenes, now dead, removed, you be. And a poem.
Neutron, if we could start with you, what'd you think?
Sure, I thought it was a great poem, and I thought it was a great performance of the piece. I really enjoyed the language. I think that Irish Rose captured the Cajun very well in this piece. And I'm very appreciative of the performance prompts for reading it. The depictions are vivid and spooky and conjure the mystery of both voodoo and one Marie Laveau. Very well done.
Excellent comment there, Neutron. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this was a write that really and still does impress me. You did a wonderful performance of that, Richard. I really like the, on a technical level, the alliteration, the flow that it has, her use of the dialect to make it very authentic in its vibe. I like how this pays tribute to Marie Laveau, to the haunting atmosphere of New Orleans. I like that she brings in not only the, like as you were talking about earlier, the different religions of voodoo, but also the Christianity, the Jesus he knows, the shadows walk sneaky slow and watches where they go dancing and devils all aglow. You know, just absolutely, absolutely brilliant dark lines and very well done.
Excellent comment there, Pam. Yeah, I really liked being able to perform this. It's truly a performance poem. And I loved how we shift the arc, where we shift from formal form poetry into this kind of surreal breakdown, where suddenly we're in this, you know, deconstructed magical realm where we got the bats howling and demonic wolves growling, and it's just, you know, it's a breakdown, and it's just a very powerful piece. Very well done. And with that, we are ready for our next one.
Okay, so Pam, I've handpicked Pedro Diaz's poem Masquerade Ball in Creole Land, when you're ready.
All right. Masquerade Ball in Creole Land by Pedro Diaz. Masquerade Voodoo Fest on Halloween night. French Quarter, the fest host. Death gifts, the price of admittance. Summoned to mirth, the host. Commanding town in memory, vibrant, glittered, ivory balconies, gaudy knights of costumes with black sorcery, death near, face-covered gloves in hand. Gold invitation, requisite at the gate, the mansion in Vaucarre, the hostess of the most prophesied fest, monarchical rows of floats and horses, the cream of New Orleans parading throughout. The kitchen emanated aromas of exquisite dishes arranged for the feast. The party commenced, dimmed lights, wicked music played by the orchestra, Smoke oozed from the earth as it trembled. Strong winds, the candles blew out. A voice from a distance struck, roaring, "My children, souls are at stake. The men shall die by the hand of the women. Shed blood for Papa Legba." Glock shouted, "This fest is a death trick. The wall paintings came to life, killing men, kidnapping women. Women bleeding, fighting for their lives, reaped blood-stained dresses, weeped as their husbands' lives vanished. No exit found out the macabre mansion. Blood and flesh woke up Papa Legba, powerful black Haitian oracle, Adu. The streets of the French Quarter cast it out, conjuring ill spells with voodoo and magica del diablo." End poem.
Great read, Pam. I thought this was a classic Nolan's voodoo offering. Great storytelling and a wonderful invocation of the Papa Legba vibe, including the dark Papa Legba vibe. Very well done. And Neutron, your thoughts?
I think Pedro Diaz has really captured the sinister vibes. It starts off vibrant, glittered and ivory balconies, and it ends in weeping for their husband's lives vanished, no exit found out the macabre mansion. Powerful offering on Papa Legba, and I like the fact that he drew the correlation that he was a Haitian oracle, and the streets of the French Quarter casted out, conjuring ill spells with voodoo and magia del diablo. Very well done.
Great comment there. Okay, so where would you like to go next?
Okay, so I have a poem here by David Mayeroff, I might give this one a read. So it's called A Night of Make-Believe and Real. I lunge ahead onto the street called Bourbon, masked partygoers fiddling their satin costumes and curled whiskers, passing all teeth, biting while grinding, blood dripping from the TMJ of the gargoyle. Sounds curdling, the stomach stink to a fill, a dumpster, knives jutting out in place of nails. The half-naked less scary than the clothed, in their skin of decay, weeping corpse of red and pus of green, fangs ripping at flesh of the beast newly killed with cackling to stand the hair on the head of the bold. Goblins rocking to music of the netherworld as if on drugs. A night under the stars with the moon acting as friend and foe, shining on predator and prey. The gleam on my eye moist as if I was shouting, "Out of here," when I discover this is all too real and the exits lead me deeper inside. End poem.
Hey, read, Neutron. Pam, if we could start off with you.
Yeah, I thought this had amazing imagery, dark and creepy and visceral. I really like how it's about that celebration of Halloween in New Orleans and how the mysteries of the real and the unreal kind of combine, and it's difficult to tell one from the other. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely, Pam, I agree. I liked how David shows the horror embedded within the reality of Bourbon Street's Halloween celebration. I thought it was a nicely crafted psychological bit of poetry there. And Neutron, as reader, I'll give you final word.
I'm in two minds of this poem. One, it sounds like a really bad acid trip on Halloween. And the other side of it, it's you know, like it really does, eh? Like when he talks about the TMJ of the gargoyle, and the which is actually a reference to your jaw, I believe, and the sound curdling, the stomach stink to fill a dumpster, knives jutting out in place of nails. It almost gives vibes of Edward Scissorhands, and just the thought that at least if they're half naked, they're less likely to stab you with something hitting on their person. So, it's really an interesting, creepy ride, and I love it for this show. I'm glad I managed to fit it in towards the end. So it's a great way to kind of complete the show. We might have time for one more. It's up to you, Richard.
Yeah, let's try and get in one more. I do want to say, though, when you said acid trip New Orleans, that reminded me of Easy Rider, where that is seen in the end where they're tripping out and they're in the cemetery. Okay, but yes, let's try and get in M. Lee Dickerson.
Yeah, so Pam, if you could give this one a read, that would be great.
I'd be happy to. A Haunted Bar by Emily Dickinson, and it goes like this. 200 years old absinthe house, a haunt of Andrew Jackson, pirate Jean Lafitte, or well-known voodoo queen Marie Laveau, and other creatures haps from down below, who close and open doors, move bottles, chairs, and glasses round the bar while raising hairs. Come sit inside and feel dark presences, share moments with some evil essences. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Yeah, you know, Daniel always has this wonderful way of bringing things together, and he does it quite well in this brevity on the old absinthe house. Thought it was a nice spooky ad for our Halloween celebration. And Neutron, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, firstly, he's conveyed quite a lot in a short word count, hence the word brevity. But I think he's got this coy creepiness that sneaks in that second stanza, who close and open doors to move bottles and chairs and glasses round the bar while raising hairs, come sit inside and feel dark presences, share moments with some evil essences. Love the rhyming scheme. I think it adds, and it's almost got this tongue-in-cheek vibe about it too. So I think it was a great way to end the show.
Absolutely, yeah. He's kind of famous for that tongue-in-cheek, and he brings it in this one as well. And Pam, as reader, I'll give you final word.
Definitely, definitely wonderful tongue-in-cheek, dark humor. So much said in such a brevity. I like that he brings in the classic history of, you know, Andrew Jackson, the pirate Jean Lafitte, and even Queen Marie Laveau. I really like how he gives us this presentation, this neat little package of the darker side of the essence of this old absinthe house. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. Okay, so as opposed to trying to squeeze in another poem and probably running out of time, I wanted to first welcome back, Neutron. So wonderful to have you on the air with us for two solid hours. It's been a great trip, and your presence was sorely missed, and just a nice venue for you to come back with this Halloween Nolan celebration that we did. So glad you could join us.
Thanks, Richard. And can I just interject and say, I was just going to say, Pam,
yes,
thank you for keeping the show running with Richard in my absence. That's all I was going to add.
Absolutely.
My pleasure.
I was just about to segue. See, great minds think alike. I was just about to segue to say, and thanks so much to Pam for picking up the baton in Neutron's absence. It really did help. And, you know, I don't know what we would have done without your help. You really helped us for a good solid month of making this show happen. So much appreciated.
My pleasure.
And with that, I'm actually going to turn the mic over to you, Pam, to tell us what's coming up in a half an hour. I know we've got more Halloween celebration coming up.
We do. So, you know, we have Break On Through Haunted Train. So everybody all aboard. And poetry readers and commenters, always welcome.
Absolutely. Great. And, you know, I want to thank everyone. I know this was a bit challenging because there's so many of these Halloween contests coming this week. We, you know, we really had to dig into the vault, and I appreciate our members here at LNP for coming through and making another successful show happen for us. Without you guys, there really is no show, and much appreciation to you guys always for making it work week after week. And I want to put out a special thanks to Fill My Eyes in the background, because she did quite a bit of work in prepping this show in particular. So much appreciation to you, as always, for making this stuff happen in the background. And with that, I think we are ready to sign off, and we will see you in 2 weeks' time for another episode of In Our Craft or Sullen Art. Have a good night. Bye now.
Thanks, Richard. Bye, Pam.
Bye.